welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Praise God. This morning, I was sensing it was right for us to have some testimonies. Maybe we'll do that next week. Because the Lord directed me to a testimony. I'm going to share a testimony. I'm going to share a testimony of BCC. And it's never not been done before, but I'm going to share it today as well as I can. I sense God wants me to do that. Before I do, I want to turn you to a couple of passages of Scripture. Because before, as a Christian, you can have a real powerful testimony, there is something you have to get hold of, each of us, individually, as a church, collectively. And that is that God is able. Not just something to sing about. He is able. He is faithful. We can do all things through Christ. We have to get hold of that. I want to take you to Judges chapter 6 very quickly. Verse 11. I'm turning you to the passage that deals with Gideon. And I want us to learn something from this. I'm sure we are mindful of it, but it doesn't stay with us every day. Verse 11 of Judges 6, it's a principle we need to develop and grab hold of here. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joasher the Abiezrite. Is it? Let's look at that.
Okay. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Listen to his response. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And so often, too often, we Christians take that journey. You don't think of it? We go that way. And we ignore God. We ignore the relationship we have with him in salvation and redemption. We ignore and forget all the benefits, all the blessings, all the miracles he's done in our life. And we carry on like Gideon. Verse 14. "And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel?'" Anybody think that way? "What can I do in the kingdom of God? What can I do to turn this land around? What can I do to turn Bangor around? What can I do? Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." What has that got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? We're leaving one most important truth aside. Here he is, and that is his forgotten God. All he can do is look at his circumstances. Have we gone to 16? "And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" Glory to God. Let me just pick up on that last word, one man, two words, one man. There has to be unity with God and with man to achieve the exploits that are available to us in God. Where there is no unity, you can never accomplish. Where there is unity, together and with God, Gideon wasn't going to accomplish this. He was going to get the man of the land together. And God says, "You're going to do it as one man." In other words, they'll have one heart, one mind, one vision, one purpose, one commitment. They acted like one. And you know, when we act together as one, nothing's impossible to us. A husband and wife team, a football team, 11 players functioning as one. A church, every one of us in the church functioning as one. Nothing can be withheld. Nothing can be withheld. And we've lost those truths. He hadn't even a revelation of it. My mind goes back to Numbers 13. Again, we talked recently, I think, in one of the department heads meetings, of that terrible state that the children of Israel's leaders saw themselves in. They were sent out, the 10 spies, to spy out the land. They went out to spy out the land, and when they looked in the land, it was good. It was good land. This is what we want to have. We want to have this. But they went on with a confession when they went back and says, we can't take this land because we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so were we in theirs. When you have a low esteem of yourself, I can't attitude, when God says you can, you can never do it, and the enemy's got you sus straight away, and you'll never accomplish anything. You'll never do it. I'm laying this foundation before I share the testimony, and because it's so important. We've got to deal with that individually, got to deal with it as a families, got to deal with that as a church. That's the only way it takes place. But the scripture says in Philippians 4:13, it says, can anybody tell me what it says there? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? I've
sat this morning and I tried to put a few thoughts down that relate to
the testimony of BCC to date and from the past, from its birth.
And let me start off by saying God gave
the church, and I, if your parents, it's the only way I can relate this, if your parents, then your children are going to get the benefit of who you are, what your vision is, what your boldness is to achieve. They're going to get the benefits of that. And if that isn't there, then they're going to get the benefits of, well, we can't. We haven't got. We will not be able to get. And the same is true in the church. So I'm starting with Hillary and I, because when we had no concept of being pastors, starting a church and doing the work, we just loved God. Totally unequipped to do the job. But when God came along and he got hold of us, we surrendered. That's another story in itself, but we surrendered. And in doing that, God helped develop in us, we weren't aware of it at the time, a yes, I can attitude. I've said it wrong because it's totally wrong what I've just said. He developed in us a yes, we can attitude. Everything we've done together. Everything we've done, we've been in faith together. We believe God for. Hillary's paid sacrifices for me to go and do certain things and other things, but it's been because we were one. Yes, we can. And so we developed a yes, we can attitude. And of course, because that attitude was in us, and we were not only birthed in the church, but we believed in the church, it would be foolish not to imagine that that same attitude that was in us was being taken into the church, and the church was being led and motivated by that attitude that was in us. So as leaders in the church, and as the developing leadership came into place, it was being motivated by that same force, yes, we can. And so we became yes, we can people. Can I just stop long enough to say I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me on its own? That's a statement. To say I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, yes, I can. It's possession. It's not a testimony. It's a possession. You can. You've got it. I can do it. You've testified it. You have it. It's yours. That's who you are now. You are somebody that's not quoting a scripture. You're somebody that scripture has now inhabited you. Glory to God. The truth of it is there. I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. So don't just say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Say at the end of it, yes, I can. I'm going to give you some opportunities to say with me, yes, I can. In fact, if I remember at the right times, I'll raise my hands and I'll say it automatically. You say it with me. Yes, we can. Because it's the we that counts. What have I put here? Where do we start here? Well, we started our journey with God, and God told us to birth BCC. We had a problem over that. How could we do that? Who are we? I have no idea at all about ministry and the word and so on. And yet, we did it. We did it. I can't go into any detail. We did it. Say it with me. Yes, we can. Whatever God says to you, yes, you can do it. Whatever God says to you, yes, you can do it. Yes, we can. Whatever he says to this church, we can do it. Yes, we can. God spoke to us. No time dates here. Try to go through some sort of order here. He called us at that time to live by faith. Live by faith. You know, how do you live by faith? How do you live without any money at all? We didn't, as you know, take unemployment. We didn't write prayer letters. We didn't communicate people. We were living by faith. How'd you do that? God called us and he says, live by faith. Don't ask anybody for any money, only me. Is that correct? I will supply. We did it. Yes, we can. You missed it. You think I'm just playing a joke. If you can get this in your spirit and apply it to your life, I'm telling you, biblical God truth. Yes, you can. You've got to get that in your spirit. I can only share this, and Hillary can only share our testimony, as you can only share yours, because you've experienced it. You went through it. And I want to tell you, I've just said that in a few moments, but I tell you, it was a very different story. When we had our children growing up, we had the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and we were not employed, nor did we take money from the unemployment. I want to tell you, that's a very different story. Think about that rather than the fact that we just live by faith. Yes, we can. We can live by faith. Then God came along and put in our heart we needed somewhere to have as a teaching sort of school, and put in our heart we needed a big house. And so we started looking. We were living by faith, no money. And we walked into this house and the people were selling it, business people moving out. And I stood there and the word of the Lord came to me and says, I have given you this house for my glory. Whoa. Nothing. So what did we do? We just started doing what God told us to do. We've been living in that house 46 years now. The details of that is another story. You need to hear that. I'm just giving you because I can't. Yes, we can. Yes. In other words, I'm trying to say, if God speaks to you, yes, we can. Get it. Get it in your family. Get it in your marriage. Get it in this church. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. You know, your biggest enemy is what I've shared at the beginning. When you see yourself as a grasshopper, that scripture says, I can do all things not on my own, through him, through him, through him, through him, through him, not round him, through him. Not besides him, in him. I can do all things through Christ. Yes, I can. Hallelujah. Yes, I can. And so then the church was being birthed, and we were, never forget it, in Maxwell Road. The leaders were gathered in the downstairs, one of the downstairs lounges, and we were sitting and in a prayer meeting, and suddenly they started, quote, saying, this piece of land, 12 acres of land in the middle of Bangor. This just came out of the blue, and they started saying, God told us to buy that land. We had no money. We were just a young fledgling church. You buy the land, 12 acres of land. And so we heard God, so we set ourselves to go and buy it. So what did we do? We bought it. Yes, we can. You missed it. Yes, we can. I can't give you the detail of all of these, but if you want that, you come and let me know. I'm letting you know the testimony of BCC that you are part of today. It's the same place, the same heart, the same spirit, same vision, the same God, and the same objective. It's to reach the world for Christ. It's to establish the magnificent demonstration of his dwelling place, which is the house of the Lord, where the beauty of Jesus is seen, where there's a demonstration of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So we bought it. Then came a call to birth the church. We'd birth this one, to birth the church just outside of Newry. So we went there and responded at the same time as running this and other ministries. And every Tuesday night we'd go down there, and I preached for I don't know how long in a big, it was on a farm, on a big hen house.
huge hen house where the hens were. They'd cleaned it up and said, would you come and preach? It's a long story how that came about. But so I went down faithfully every Tuesday, preached. Birthed a church there. They now have, they're not in the hen house for years. They built their own physical building. It's in Uri. That was a church that God told us to birth. That church was birthed. Praise God. Say, yes, we can. And one of the times I was ministering down in Cork, and after the service, a couple came up to me and said, we are from Killarney, we're not from here, but we have such a need for this in Killarney. Would you come and would you start a work in Killarney? So we talked about it and prayed about it, and I said, Lord, how can I do that? How, if I start a work down there, how can it go on? You know, I'm up here, that's down there, so it's wrong to start a work without someone to carry the work on. And so we prayed about it. In the end, I had to respond. I was looking at ways how I can get up and down. Can I afford to fly? I've got to drive up. Anyway, we went through all of that, and we birthed the church in Killarney. There's a church, quite a thriving church in Killarney today. You can go down there. It is there. Glory to God. It's a second church. And how did we get around pastoring it? Well, there was a young man and his wife who were just in church. He'd gone to Bible school in England at Assemblies of God Bible College. This is one I went to. And they were just finishing. And so I knew they had about a month or two left. And I got through to them and I said, look, you know, when you're coming home, I have a sense that God already got a place for you to work and minister. Would you be willing to live in the south of Ireland, in Killarney, if we start a work there and run it? Which is what has happened and what is happening today. Yes, we can. Glory to God. We can raise churches. And now, of course, out of this one, Kingdom Harvest has been birthed by Brian and Karen. And some of those from Belfast. So praise the Lord. Yes, we can. God told us to buy this building. And I'm not, when I just say he told us to buy it, I am not just saying it was a whim. God told us to buy it. We came in and offered to buy this place when it was a business, full thriving business. It had been for 30 or 40 years or more. So we came in and I said, God told us to buy this. Would you like to sell it? So that's how, yes, we can. We bought it. That's BCC. That's people working together and functioning together. Prevail in the time of great shaking. This church went through a great shaking. People got led astray. A lot of people left. And how it happens, how it always happens, is sowers of discord. Gossipers. Let me tell you, never let that happen in here. If you hear someone sowing discord, tell them to go and see the eldership. If you hear somebody gossiping or coming with a complaint that you can't handle, say, go and take that to the eldership. Because that's how the enemy works. He sows seeds of sedition amongst the people of God. And because they're ignorant of the whole and they listen to a lie or a half lie, and they don't go to find out the actual truth, the enemy makes short work of them. And during that time, we had people going around the homes of people in the church telling them to leave. How about that? Yeah. And so we had an income, and our expenditure was based on the income of the church. When so many dissipated, we were left high and dry, and it wasn't long before we had bills coming in we couldn't pay. It wasn't long after that that we had letters telling us that the bailiffs were coming in. It wasn't long after that till they told us the date the bailiffs were coming in. This is the truth. I want to tell you, yeah. And I'm not going to go into detail of all of that. But they didn't come in. Hallelujah. Nor have they ever been in. And we write through it. I want to tell you, yes, we can. Yes, we can. I wish you could get the spirit of this. This is a testimony of this church. Not us. The testimony of this church. A church isn't just the leadership. The church isn't. The church is the people. That's the church. That's where the strength is. That's where the ministers come from. That's where the servant hearts are found. That's where the people of God called and planted there for a purpose to establish a house for His glory. It's not a place you frequent occasionally. It's a place that you're built into the fabric of. It's a spiritual house. Hallelujah. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We got a call from the Philippines. Would I go and minister in the Philippines? Somebody had sent through a minister in America to us, long story, a check for $100. I don't know whether I'd heard some, we'd had that problem. I don't know. Anyway, this was a poverty-stricken country, and a pastor from there had sent a check to this man who sent it to us for $100. I felt humbled. Anyway, a number of months later on, I got a call from the Philippines saying, would I go out there, minister? Wow, Philippines, you know, where's the Philippines? What's the Philippines? And how do you do? What do you do? So we prayed about that and we went out there. And I took two men with me the first time. And then we've taken teams out. We used to go every year. Last time was about 2 years ago, maybe. Last time went, was it two? Anyone tell me? 2 years ago, and take a team there. Our spiritual father, I relinquish it now, our spiritual father for all those years, well, after the first couple of years, to hundreds of churches and hundreds of pastors that have been established there. Could you believe that? Say it. Yes, I can. And this church is right behind it. We had to learn something because we wanted to help the people financially and spiritually and so on, but these people are poverty-stricken people. And it's not that they are wrong about money or they use it wrongly or that they're greedy for it. It's just that they're so short that they will say anything to you. And so we had to learn that we've got to be good stewards of the money that God gives us as a church. And so we, several things that we did some research when we're out there and find out how could we help them? How could we help them to having more income coming into the churches that they could help pay their way, help pay the pastors and so on. All of these pastors, hundreds of them. And so one of the things that we did after research, we went through this church, bought loads of pigs, piglets. And we distributed these piglets to pastors. They were always, of course, sows. And we, of course, we'd learned that pork and the pigs are very expensive out there, and everybody wants them, and so they could breed their sows, and they would come off, but maybe from 10 to 16 or 17 piglets, so they could grow those a little bit, sell those on. So they were making money. So pastors were making money that way, and then we came onto another scheme because they needed to do so much, because there's so many churches, so many pastors that we're ministering and pastoring that didn't have a way. So we realized that, you know, the Philippines are made up of 7,000 islands. So one of the biggest businesses there is sea transportation. And so after a lot of research, we put in the money and we had built out there, pure mahogany, a great passenger carrying vessel. Hallelujah. And so we gave a clear instruction how this was to operate, and the pastors would be part of the crew and the team. They would get a salary, and some of the unemployed people could get a salary on this. They, out of that salary, could pay a tithe and help start supporting the pastors. So we did that. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. How do you do that? How do you do that? I would never have dreamed that this church or any church would have done that. Anyhow, I wouldn't think that way. But you can if you will, if you'll open up your heart. And if we're here to do the will of God. This church, I want to tell you, is a great church with a great foundation and a great history. Glory to God. Then I got a call from Ghana. And it was amazing, but not going into all the detail of it, but so eventually I responded to that call. It was to the northern parts, Corifidia, isn't it, towards the north, not right up north, but a place called Corifidia. So I responded to there, and wow, what an input we had there. Hillary was able, on a couple of years, trips to come out with me, and we had such an awesome input there, and just the church gave so much into the work there financially. I want to tell you, yes, we can. I could go on and on about that. But if you haven't got the heart, if you haven't got the vision, BCC was a place of absolute unity. We were in our late 20s when it was birthed. The place was mostly filled at that stage with 20 and 30 year olds. And they were hungry for God. And they were waiting, hanging on every word that was coming, and they were chewing on it, and they were living it. They were putting it into practice. They were doing it. They had no other agenda. We're a church. And when I was teaching them that we are people being built together, the house of the Lord, it's the measure of our togetherness and our cooperation together, willing to become one in God and sacrificing our own ideals for God's plan through His local church, through His body. They responded. And we were able to do all of these things because there was a people like that. Yes, we can. Yes. That's getting weak. Yes, we can. It's we. Say it again, because somebody might have said an I. Yes, we can. Amen. In the Philippines, in Ghana, there was a pastor, Ivan Hendrickson, pastor of a lot of churches. Could hardly exist because financial levels not the same as they are here, and living by faith, had really nowhere to stay. We ended up building a house for them. Yes, we can. Was it built? Of course it was. Yes, we. In fact, I didn't ask for this. I was told long after I was back. By the way, they said, we send a letter. Carol, have it all on the files. We have called the house Nabby House. So BCC has a Nabby House in Kufridia. Yes. Yes, we can. Are you not proud of the history of your church? God did it. God's done it. God's waiting to do it again. Then God, we saw a dearth within our land. There was nothing really happening collectively or a move of the Spirit. We had a desire that we should do something about that. And God put it in our heart. The end product of that was, you may have heard of it, what was called Port Rush Spiritual Feast. We started a ministry each year. I think it was in the month of July. We booked Kelly's Caravan Park up in Port Rush. And he has a lot of private statics there. So we did a deal with the owners that we could rent their caravans for the people that would come and wanted to stay on site. And then we had a big field where we put up a 4 or 5 pole marquee that could carry hundreds and hundreds. And we had a small one, marquee for the children's ministry. And we started Port Rush Spiritual Feast. Anyone help me? How long? We went for years. How long did it go? A lot of years. 10 years. And they came from all over in the UK. They came from America to those meetings. We had awesome ministry. And we did. God put it in our heart to do it. Those people still come here today. We went. I don't normally go up, but I did. Went to Marks and Spencer's to get something when Hillary went in, and we went to pay for it. And there was a lady that was taking the money, and she started talking in such a way that caused me to say to her, "You're talking in such a way. I think I should know you." She said, "I've been to your church." And she started talking and asking me questions, and I says, "Oh, okay, what brought you to the church?" And he says, "Well, my mother was, what's her first name? Anyway, Gilliland, Mrs. Gilliland. She's up from the Lake District area of the country, and she used to come to the Port Rush camp. She was a very dignified, very prosperous woman. She'd always come to the Port Rush spiritual camps, and she'd come to any conventions we had on down here. And she must have been now in her 60s. That woman wasn't a Christian, so she'd take every opportunity to bring her along. So she brought her here. So this woman that we met again was a reminder of the past, Mrs. Gilliland, who came to Port Rush spiritual feast. Yes, we can. Where are we? Spiritual feast. And then, you know, when all the troubles were on in the country, we realized we need to get praying, and we need to get the church praying, and the church could hardly come together because we had differences of doctrine and whatever, and, you know, so we would never meet. So God put it in our heart to do something about that, And we, in praying about it, realized there was one area where we did not differ, and that was that God was worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. And we had an agreement on one area, and that was we can worship Him together. And so Island Arise was born out of that. And Jonathan birthed that with some of the members in our own church, musical. And the strategy was we went right around Ulster and south of Ireland, visiting the pastors, asking if they would be willing to allow us to talk to their people, any singers they have, any instrumentalists. So Jonathan and his team developed a phenomenal team of instrumentalists. We had great sound coming from, it was awesome, all the top singers in the country. From every denomination, including Catholic Church, were there. And we were going around the country with Ireland Arise. In other words, and it was all worship. It was all worship. Big thing, we had regional meetings in the north. We had regional meetings in the south. You had to travel all around those places. First of all, I had to go and see all the pastors and talk with them. Anyway, yes, we can. Ireland Arise. How long did that go on for? How many? 7 years. Glory to God. I believe it played its part in where we're at. Yes. That's one I've just put down here. God says, and that's what we're about still. The enemy's done his best to stop it. He has done his best to ruin it. He has done his best and continues to try to destroy it. And that is this. The mandate has not changed. Build a house for God, where the magnificent manifestation of His glory and His power and His grace and His love can be found. That's still our mandate. Because that's right up to date. Because that's still one of the things the enemy is contending, because that's the biggest one. A house for the glory of God means the permanent presence of God that's manifest. Now, God's everywhere. He is here today. But the permanent manifestation of the presence of God is the glory of God. He is there. He is there because of the spirit of unity, our oneness, our worship, our love, our reaching the lost, doing the will of God. That's what brings His presence there. Where there is no distractions, where there is no discord, where there is no divisions, where we work at keeping unity, where we are bold to deal with the spirit of disunity wherever it shows itself. We are here and guardians of the house of the Lord, the glory of God that God wants to increasingly manifest. That's where we're still at. That's where we're still at. If you want to know what this church is about, I've shared those things, as I could remember some of them, that God told us to do, and we did them. They were all secondary. Do you know what this church is called to do? Do those things as well. But do you know what it's called to do? Reveal the glory of God. How is the glory of God revealed? By His presence. By His presence. A dove won't stand around for long, you know, where there's danger and disruption and upheaval, a dove will fly away, and the Holy Spirit's likened to a dove. We need the Holy Ghost here. He needs to take up permanent residence. He does that because of the people working together to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace, where we will not allow any loose talk to come out, where we will not criticize and pull down, where we will, if we have questions or concerns, go to the people that can answer them. Go to the eldership. You have good eldership in this church. You have good eldership. And they will stand up for the things of God. They will deal with what needs to be dealt with. So don't listen to somebody that is just spouting off and is coming off with this or that and the other without any real substance. If there's a question mark, you've heard something, then let's go and talk to the elders.
Yes, we
can. Are you going? You wanting your dinner?
Yes, we can.
I know it's late. It's 12:45. But I want to tell you, I've shared with you in such a short period of time, the sweat and blood, the prayers and giving of finance that this house has done consistently ever since it was birthed. And we were called to be a fruitful bough by a well whose branch goes over the wall. That's the call of this house. In other words, to serve others outside of us. And we've endeavored to respond to everything God's called us to do, and we've been asked to do. That's the legacy that you're a part of. That's your legacy. That's the legacy of those that are not here. But that's the testimony of BCC today. Hallelujah. It's a testimony that says,
yes, we can.
No, you're not going to do it like that. It's a testimony that says,
yes, we can.
You think I'm joking? I'm not just wanting to make a noise. If you can't come out with that conviction of spirit, you'll not do it. I want to tell you, that's deep in me, that's deep in Hillary. Yes, we can, comes from deep down here, not from here or from there. It comes from inside of it. It's the Holy Ghost in you and me that says we can do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.